Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter number 25. 1 Samuel chapter number 25. Through the course of Thanksgiving and the nature of the holiday and so forth, and picking back up with 1 Samuel, we have a stark contrast between two individuals. Remember, we did the eulogy as it related to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse number 1. And now we come to a very different man. David is, of course, on the run from Saul. And as he is on the run from Saul, he's carried about and caring for different ones, caring for his men, providing things for them, working and doing a number of different things. And they come and interact with a man that was far different from the man Samuel. So if you're in 1 Samuel chapter number 25, look what the Bible says. We'll pick up the reading in verse number 2. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse number 2. And there was a man, Maon, whose possessions were in Carmel. The man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers, now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. So if I could just take a moment and set the stage for what we see in the passage. We have an individual that is a man of great wealth. You would recognize that here from the verses. The Bible says he has 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. He's shearing his sheep in Carmel. But the Bible makes an interesting statement about him. While his wife was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, the Bible says he was a churlish man or an evil man in all of his doings. When we read that word churlish, it's a word that means that he's harsh and evil. He's greedy, dishonest in all of his doings. And so we might even think to the nature of how Laban dealt with Jacob back in the book of Genesis and the dealings that went on there. Very difficult in his dealings and evil. David sends and says, my men have done much to care for your shepherds and to provide for your flocks. And so he says here again, ask thy young men, verse number 8, and they will show thee. They'll testify of the fact that my men have been good to your men. They've watched out for the shepherds. We hurt them not. There's no cattle, none of the flocks that were missing. And the Bible goes on to say, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. So David comes to him and says, is there a capacity to reimburse us for the kindness that has been shown? When David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water, my flesh, that I have killed for my shearers, and give it unto men, whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. So David is rebuffed. David's men are rebuffed. They are turned away. They had shown kindness to the shepherds of Nabal. And Nabal, in response to David, kind of gives some mocking statements about who David is. He says there, oh, he's just another one that's broken away, and I'm not going to respond to every kind of individual that's done this kind of thing. Well, we find that in verse number 13, as the responses from Nabal is given back to David, David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 men abode by the stuff. So they are going to go out of this setting, and they are going to bring about a different response from Nabal, if you would say it that way. Nabal had said, no, I'm not going to give up the flock. I'm not going to reimburse you for what you've done for us and the care that you provided. And so Nabal has this response, and David is not happy with that response. So he says to his men, gird your swords on. We're going to go and we're going to take that which we believe is rightfully ours for what we have done on Nabal's behalf. This is where I want to jump into this story. There is a person that is going to stand between Nabal and David. And this person is Nabal's wife. And I go back to verse number three. And the Bible says, now the name of the man was Nabal, the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. I want to speak on her role here, standing between her husband, who was a churlish or evil man, and David, and everything that is taking place in this matter. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Thank you for these folks that have come. We pray your hand of blessing upon each one. I pray that you'd help us to see Abigail in this role and seeking to help in these circumstances. And Lord, I pray that you would direct in all that I say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. So Abigail is going to step in. She's now going to be told a scenario. We read those opening 12 verses. Nabal says, I'm not doing anything for what David has done. David has come to her in a humble manner. David's rebuffed at what has taken place. So David says, here's the solution. I'm going to take my 400 men and we will bring about a different solution than what Nabal has said thus far. I want you to notice with me, number one, Abigail's discernment. Abigail's discernment. We ask ourselves, first of all, did Abigail have good understanding as it related to the nature of her husband? And we'd have to say, yes, she'd been with him. She'd walked with him. She knew the nature of this man. We don't know how long that they had been married. We don't know how old they were or anything like this. But Abigail's been with him, and no doubt she's seen the nature of her husband. So we read in verses 13 to 17 that Abigail is going to discern what path should be taken. Verse number 13, David says, boys, mount up, grab your swords. Verse number 14, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us by both night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Abigail's discernment. Number one, Abigail's discernment. She's going to hear from the circumstances of Nabal's servants, and she's going to hear about this interaction that we have in verses 1 through 12. So on one side you have Nabal, who's dealt dishonestly with the people, or with David and his men. You have David, who's coming to him humbly and saying, listen, this is what we did. This would be a right and fair reimbursement. Would you do something on our behalf? Nabal mocks, says, I'm not going to do anything for David. Who does he think he is? They go back. The servant of Nabal understands very clearly this is not going to end well for us. This is going to go very poorly, and it could result in actually wiping out any relationships with Nabal, including even his life. We even see it a little bit later on. It's a verse I won't take time to read, but it's a verse that you guys can walk through as David says, we will literally wipe out every single man that is connected at all with Nabal. He is determined to wipe out those that were connected with Nabal. Now, the discernment that Abigail showed, she does not balk at this statement from the servant. She's looking now at past interactions and past issues, and she says, listen, we've got to do something. There's something bad that is going to happen to both Nabal and the family. And so she shows discernment in listening to the story from the servants as it related to the interaction of David and Nabal. Would you notice number two with me, Abigail's decision? Abigail's decision. Here's what she does. The Bible says in verse number 18, "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses." Now, I have no comprehension of actually what this would all involve, but it sounds to me like it's a lot of food. Does it sound like it's a lot of food to you? It sounds like it's a great deal to me, and it sounds like it's a big deal to me because of what it would take to prepare all these things. Now, I know you and I will often come home and we're thinking to ourselves, what can I microwave? You know, and we'll think to ourselves, if I could just pop the microwave meal in, or perhaps we've got that DiGiorno pizza that tastes like delivery, right? We think we can have it in about 10 to 15 minutes, and so we've made preparations, and we're going to have this quick and easy meal. Perhaps some of you have been more in an arena of like a meal that has been prepared while you're camping out. And perhaps you've been in that environment before where you have to start the fire somehow. You've got to have some kind of a pan. And you're going to now cook the eggs. You're going to make some other kind of soup or something like this. But it's far more involved. And again, you and I are thinking in terms of modern conveniences. You and I are thinking as it was this morning at our house, where I walk up to the stove or to the oven and I push bake. And then it says what time, and I push in 400 degrees and I put the thing in. And in 12 minutes, we have wonderful sweet rolls, right? We're so used to that kind of thing. But when you and I read all that's involved here, how much time would it have taken for 200 loaves? How much time is taken for 2 bottles of wine? How much time is taken for 5 sheep to be ready dressed? How much time is taken for this corn, for these raisins, for these cakes? All of this is quite involved. And so I'm putting it out to you that this next decision that she makes, based upon the discernment that she had, and she's like, listen, I know my husband, and I know the nature of what has been said in this scenario. And if all of this is true about David and his men and their power, we're in trouble if we don't do something. We're in trouble. And so she makes this decision to prepare all these things. And now look at how she's going to unfold this. Verse number 19. "And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them." Look down with me, if you would, at verse number 24. "And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send." She's saying, listen, I wasn't there to be the buffer or to provide the buffer between your men and my husband. If I would have been there, it would have been a much different outcome. Again, when we look back to verse number 3, we see a far different contrast between a husband and a wife. A woman of good understanding, a man that is evil in all of his doings. And the Bible then goes down to say in this decision, she says, "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." You could almost see this being a poem, can't you? Nabal is his name and folly is his game. And you're reading down through this and you're thinking to yourself, at least I am as I'm reading through chapter 25, how did these two ever find each other on matchmaker.com? I mean, what was it in their profile that said, yes, this will be a good match? woman of good understanding, a man that's evil in all of his doings. Well, she made the decision to step in between her husband and David. Verse number 26, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord." So she had enough discernment to say, this is not going to end well for Nabal. She had enough discernment to see Nabal's been making wicked decisions all these years, and now it's going to come back and haunt him because David is going to do something about it. And so she steps in with a decision that says, I must act based upon my discernment, and she provides a buffer between Nabal and David. Now, that buffer was provided primarily through food, but we find much greater wisdom from her mouth than from her ability to cook. Would you notice with me, number three, this deed of Abigail? She has discernment, verses 13 to 17. She makes a decision, I must act because I need to stand in the gap between these two individuals. And now she expresses in word and in deed a change. She says in verse number 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. Isn't that something? For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all that he hath done, or all that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. So she steps in and indeed says, forgive me for the trespass. She steps in and she says, David, please, I know what God has mapped out for your life. I both am aware of what he's done with you in the past, and I am aware of what he desires to do with you in the future. Don't let this incident with my husband and his response be a distraction from what God ultimately will do in your life and bringing you into the kingdom. This is quite a lady. And she says here in the verse, this shall be no grief unto thee. This will be such a minor thing when it's all said and done. And thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. So again, as we walk down through this, she understands the nature of her husband. She understands the nature of his evil doings. She understands what has taken place in this interaction where David and his men have done right, and they've been kind and gracious and overseen the flock, and they responded correctly. She knows what they've done in response to that. They asked for some food. They asked for some reimbursement. They asked for some wages. And Nabal was defiant and basically responds to them and says, no, I'm not going to do anything like that. And so she has discernment. She makes a decision that she has to act, and then indeed she says, please forgive my trespass. Isn't that amazing? I mean, she hadn't been the one that had responded in this way. She hadn't been the one that had acted these things out, but she had enough discernment both on the matter as it related to her husband and enough discernment as it related on the matter to David. David, you're going to come into the throne. And when you do come into the throne, I don't want this incident to be that which fills out your resume. And look at David's response, verse number 32. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any." And I'll allow you to read the rest of that passage. See, David had determined that he was going to wipe out every single male that had any connection to Nabal. And yet God used the temperament and spirit of a lady to be an emissary or a go-between. And David says, look at verse number 35. David received of her hand that which she had brought him and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person." Now, for all intents and purposes, we would have think that this would be the last time that Abigail and Nabal would ever, or that Abigail and David would ever meet up. What do you think David was saying as he walked away from the two individuals? Do you think he's saying the same thing that I'm saying tonight? How did they ever get together? What in the world ever brought these two into a position where they said, "I do"? Now, perhaps back in this era, it was an arranged marriage. Perhaps her parents had said, "Nabal's from a wealthy family, so we want you to marry Nabal." And she followed through on it. And perhaps Nabal changed as they were married. And he got worse and worse in his days. We don't know. But we know this, that Abigail steps in. And she stops David from taking the life of all these other young men. As he was angry and he was filled with rage. But she actually stood in the gap on behalf of her husband. Now, how does this story end? Well, we see Abigail's discernment. We see Abigail's decision. I must act. I have to do something. We see her deed, asking for forgiveness and making the statements that David, in fact, would be used of the Lord, just as he had already been used. But look at verse number 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. She knew of his nature. She knew that this was no time to be able to go and speak to him. So she just walked away or distanced herself from the scenario and what Nabal was doing. Look at verse number 37. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Was this a physiological issue, or was this a supernatural issue? We don't necessarily know here in the passage. But it is interesting that right after this scenario in chapter 25 and everything that unfolds, God takes his life. And Nabal, the Bible says, his heart died within him. The Lord smote Nabal that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, look at the next words, "Blessed be the Lord." This is the individual that has that has been contrary, that has been wicked in his dealings, been evil in his doings, has meant to do me harm when I meant to do him good. I stepped up that I might provide for his shepherds, that I might provide for his flocks, and he's requited to me this response. David, in anger, was appeased by Abigail's discernment and her decision and her deed. And this is how it ends up. The Bible says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and hath kept his servant from evil." David begins to recognize that if I would have gone and done what I intended to do, it would have gone very badly. And I would have been acting in rage. And I would have been acting in the flesh. Look what he says. "For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Isn't this unbelievable? This is how it turns out. "When the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife." What a statement. What a transition that has occurred from the beginning of chapter 25 to the end of chapter 25. Abigail's married to an exceedingly wicked man. She, through her own course of action, actually protected that man's life for one more day. And after that day, because of his drunken stupor and everything that was going on and so forth, his heart dies within him. He became stone. And David recognizes the passing and says, that's a great woman. And she's now widowed. And the Bible says that David calls, and the Bible says David takes her also to wife. Well, what are the lessons from this story? What do we learn? Well, Nabal was clearly wrong. Nabal had acted in an evil way. But David was clearly going to respond in the flesh. And David makes those kinds of statements here. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me." He understood, listen, I was going to act in the flesh. And as you read out the chapter, you find David's response was going to be that of anger. And so Abigail had protected Nabal on one side, and then actually, and listen to this, protected David on the other side. Abigail steps in to spare both of these men from something that could have been very catastrophic at the time. Catastrophic for the one's physical life, catastrophic for the other one's spiritual life. And look at how God rewards this lady. The Bible says Nabal's taken, and the Bible says David then takes her to be his wife. You know, this can be a difficult process to try to step in and help. Say, "Pastor, I need more discernment because I'm trying to step in." Perhaps you have a relationship with parents and you're trying to step in between mom and dad and you're an adult child now and you're trying to step in between mom and dad. You're thinking to yourself, okay, how in the world do I act that I might be a benefit to both my mom and dad? Perhaps you're stepping in to be a help to siblings. You say, "I've got siblings that are just not getting along and I just don't know how to help them, but I don't want one of them to act foolishly. I don't want one of them to act fleshly." And so you're trying to have them make the right decision. Perhaps it's in your place of work and you have coworkers that are struggling in some area. And there's all kinds of ways in which you can see these events unfold. Now, it may not unfold in such a way that someone's literally going to take someone else's life. But I believe that Abigail gives us a roadmap to try to bring peace in each of these circumstances, she understands that the peace with my husband is going to be very difficult because he has made decisions in his past and he has made decisions in his present that bring him to this place. But in dealing with both of them, she went to David, and because of her deed, in asking David for forgiveness when she had done nothing wrong, it sets the tone for seeing the relationship repaired. And albeit David and Nabal never sat down and shook hands together, they never sat down and said, hey, you know, let's let bygones be bygones and let's go ahead and have that feast that we didn't get to have yet. But God stepped in and dealt with the matter, right? Say, Pastor, I'd really like to see my parents have a right kind of relationship. Or I'd really like to see my siblings have the right kind of relationship. I'd really like to help these individuals in this arena or that arena. You know what? It's entirely possible that 1 Samuel chapter 25 would give you a roadmap for it. But in the end, we understand that God has to do the work. And in this scenario, it works out because the Bible says that God took Nabal home. Or perhaps he took him out. All likelihood, he probably didn't know the Lord is his Savior. But he protected David's long-term opportunity in his testimony. And so when you and I read of the story of Abigail, I tell you, this is a great woman. And we have the opportunity to learn from her tonight in peacemaking. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. I remember my mom saying all the time when my sister and I would fight, and that happened on a few occasions, she'd make a statement such as this. She'd say, who's going to be the peacemaker? And I'd always say, Kim, she'll be the peacemaker because I want my way, right? Matthew chapter 5, though, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story of Abigail and stepping in here in this scenario. And really, it protected her husband. He, I'm sure, didn't see it. But David had every intention of wiping out all the individuals that would have been of warfare age. David has every intention of going there and dealing with Nabal and his servants, and it would not have gone well. But she steps in. She desires to bring peace. She does much by way of labor to prepare a meal and to prepare sustenance that David's anger might be assuaged. And then she takes it a step further, and it's not just that she took the time to prepare all these things, but she also humbles herself before David and says, forgive me. She steps in a wonderful scenario here. And I pray that you'd give us the heart of Abigail. Perhaps there's someone tonight that is dealing with a matter, and you'd use the example of Abigail in their heart and life. That they'd have discernment. And that they'd make wise decisions and follow that up with good deeds. You've stated in your word that you are, that the peacemaker is happy. They're blessed. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd find that kind of attribute in our lives. I pray that you'd work in this time of invitation tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.